Tonight is week one, class number one of TH207, Healing. Hallelujah. Course objectives. This course is designed to help students understand the source of sickness and disease, the source of healing, the reality of healing, the administration of healing, receiving healing, and hindrances to healing. It's a 3-credit-hour value. The course text is Greater Works by Smith Wigglesworth. And once again, you're just to read that one section on healing because that's 4 books under one cover. So you just read the first section, which is on healing. And again, that book, the school only paid, I think it was $7.50 for it or something like that. We got a really good deal on that book. The course requirements. Read section 1, healing, in the textbook in its entirety, and the book of Luke in the King James Version, listening to the Bible and so forth. Tape or CD doesn't count. Total value, 25 points. Write a 6-page objective paper based on the following scenario. A dear friend has attended a church his entire life where the people are taught that divine healing has passed away and that all of the faith healers of today are fake. However, this dear friend knows someone who was healed of a terminal disease at a spirit-filled evangelist camp meeting, and now this friend has come to you asking that you help him understand divine healing. Your paper is to be your response. 25 points. And then you can see you're supposed to follow the guidelines for writing a paper, etc., and so on. And a final exam will be given at the end of the course, and that's going to be worth 50 points. Any questions? As usual, please submit them in writing. Okie dokie. Page 1. Well, actually, page 2. The origin of sickness, disease, and infirmity. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Now, let me just preface all of this by telling you that some of the things we're going to cover tonight, I know, will be the opposite. Well, maybe not the opposite, but in opposition to a lot of what's taught concerning healing and sickness and disease and all these kinds of things. And that's because many people in the body of Christ, they take it so far, but they don't go far enough in explaining these things. And all I'm, again, you know what to do. Remember course TH102, TH103. The Holy Spirit leads and guides you into all truth. Pray in the Spirit. Get in the Word. And let God, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, confirm or deny anything that you hear taught. Well, let's talk about God's original plan. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Now, once again, what God is saying here, image and likeness, the short and sweet of it is this. He's saying, let us make man to kind of look like us and to act like us. Now, immediately, we can ask ourselves a question. Can you imagine in your mind God being sick? No. I can't see God with the sniffles. Can you? I can't see God with a disease. Can you? So he says, likeness and image. That tells you a lot right there concerning healing. Okay. And then in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." All right, so here's God. Here's the image. God's created, formed, made man. There's this body. Now, where did man get his life? God. He got his life from God. It didn't just, you know, happen. He got his life from God. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, it says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." So God saw everything that he had made. Everything. Do you think that included man? Yes, it included man. Everything that he had made. And he says it's very good. The word very, the Hebrew word, it means especially, exceedingly, utterly. And the word good, it means pleasant, beautiful, excellent, lovely, delightful, and sound. So here's God. He creates. He forms. And he gets to man, makes him out of the dust of the earth. Then he breathes his own life into man, and man is alive with the life of God. And God looks at all of this and he says, "Hey, look what I did. Now that's very good." He says, "This is exceedingly, utterly, especially pleasant, beautiful, excellent, lovely, delightful, and sound." Does this imply to you that God created man sick, afflicted, diseased with infirmities? Well, can't be. If God created man and says it's very good, then the opposite has to be true. He created man with no sickness, no affliction, no infirmity. Now let's take it further than this. The corrupted plan. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Well, when you take "thou shalt surely die," you break it all down in the Hebrew, essentially what it's saying is, thou shalt surely die and keep dying until you're dead. So in essence, what he's describing here is an instantaneous event that initiates a process leading to an inevitable conclusion. Now, let's see if we can capture a natural illustration here. Have you ever taken a whole bunch of dominoes and set them up? Now, once you've set them up and you knock that first domino over, what happens to the rest of them? They all fall down. Now, the last domino down here, maybe you've got 1,000 dominoes. All right, domino number 1,000, if you were hiding behind it, would you know that domino number 1 has fallen? If you're hiding behind domino number 1,000, would you know that domino number 1 has fallen? Not until the process that was initiated with domino number 1 reached you, you would not know that. Unless somebody told you, of course. When God told Adam, "Boy, if you eat, you're going to die, and you're going to keep dying until you're dead." Adam ate. Spiritually, he died. But did he know it? Well, yeah, he knew it. But in a practical sense, did his fingers and everything fall off his body? I mean, did he start, crumbling right before his very eyes? No. So other than the fact that the glory departed, they saw they were naked, etc. and so forth. I mean, physically, he didn't see the results of his death until much later on. Now, if you look in Genesis chapter 3, this describes, or it tells the story of what happened, how the plan became corrupted. God created, he said, everything is good, everything is perfect, everything is wonderful. And he gives man this warning. He says, if you eat, you're going to die. And you're going to keep dying until you're dead. And then it's going to be over and done with. Well, Genesis chapter 3, the warning's been given, but now we know the story. Adam and Eve in the garden, here comes the devil. The devil says, "Eve, why don't you eat?" Eve says, "Golly, I think I will." Eve eats, turns to Adam, says, "Here, honey, have a bite. It really tastes good." Adam takes a bite, and when he does, that's it. And the eyes of both of them were opened. In other words, man, they knew. They have done something really, really bad. Well, that spiritual death started at that moment. Now, if you look over in Genesis chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died." So what's that tell you? That tells you that however old Adam was when he ate, enough years passed to where he was a total of 930 years old before what started on the inside finally destroyed him on the outside. So whether it was the third day or the tenth day or the eighth day or whatever, we don't know for sure. At least I haven't found it out yet in the Bible. But from whenever Adam ate, from that point on, the remainder of the 930 years passed. He died on the inside. Like God said, he says, "You're going to die. The day you eat, you will die." He died then, and that initiated a process in him. It started those dominoes falling. Until 930 years had passed, a total 930 years had passed, and he dies. He dies. And quite frankly, that fifth verse is, I mean, really, that's one of the saddest verses in the entire Bible. Because it didn't have to be that way. But it happened. And it all started back on that day that he ate. Now, let's describe this process of events. Adam was created with the life and the nature of God. Now, this is extremely important. See, if you don't understand that, then it's going to be hard to understand what took place when he died. If you see Adam as having a life other than the life of God on the inside of him, then you're not going to know what he lost when he ate that fruit. But again, I ask the question, what other life is there that God has to give somebody? Where else is he going to get it? God is life. When he created Adam, he gave Adam his life. He breathed into him. He gave him his own life. So here's Adam. He has the life and the nature of God. He's not deity, but he has God's life and nature on the inside of him. Now, he makes this choice. He's created with the life and the nature of God. He was created with a mind and a body that were non-deified perfection. Now, this is where a lot of people would stumble. You know why? Because we can't relate. Adam had a body and a mind that weren't God mind. All right? He didn't become God. But his mind and his body, they were absolute perfection. There were no flaws in his physical or mental makeup. None whatsoever. He made a choice to reject God. This choice led to his spiritual death. This spiritual death was passed on to the physical body. You say, well, how do you know that? Because everything originated from the realm of the Spirit. Remember over there in John 4:24, Jesus is speaking to that Samaritan woman, and he said, God is a spirit. God is a spirit. And then in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, you start right there. You can continue to read forward, but it says, in the beginning, God created. So God, a spirit, created. That means everything originated in the realm of the Spirit. Now, not being God, we don't understand how this worked. We don't understand how He did it. We just know that He did it because that's what the Bible says. So God, a spirit, created a new dimension or realm of existence called the natural. He created this new realm of existence out of the realm of the Spirit because He is a spirit. So God creates everything. If the Spirit becomes corrupted, that which it supports also will become corrupted. Now, this is extremely important to remember. If the Spirit becomes corrupted, then that which it supports also becomes corrupted. That's what happened to Adam. He eats, he dies spiritually, or another way to put that, receives a sin nature. That sin nature initiated a process of corruption in his physical body that eventually led to him dying. If you look over in... go ahead and turn over to Romans. We'll go ahead and read that instead of just quoting from it. Romans chapter 5. Verse 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man, talking about Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, do you see this word world? This word world in this verse is not simply talking about planet Earth. It literally means, in the context of this, it literally means the sum total of the material universe. So, wherefore as by Adam, sin entered into the sum total of the material universe, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Well, why have all sinned? Because we received that sin nature passed down to us from Adam. So now imagine this. God creates absolute perfection. Adam's a part of this. Adam chooses to sin. The moment that Adam sins, that spiritual death becomes his life, so to speak. He died spiritually. Sin entered. And death through sin. So death did not enter until there was sin. Remember Jesus talked about, I'm the door. You know, you come in through me. Well, sin was the door through which death was able to pass into the sum total of the material universe. Now again, this is an extremely important point to keep in mind when it comes to understanding sickness, affliction, and disease. It wasn't just that it affected man or Adam. It affected the sum total of the material universe. You know, there are a lot of... Well, we'll get to that. I got to watch it not get on too many rabbit trails on this because it would be so easy to do. So anyway, this took place, and Adam's physical death and physical corruption have been passed on to all of his descendants. Everybody who's a descendant of Adam, which is everybody in this room, ultimately, we can trace our roots back to him. we have received from generation after generation after generation, that sin nature has been passed down to every single one of us. So has that corruption. So has that death. That's why it talks about all of sin. That's because, see, when you were born into this world, you did not know. None of us. There's not one person alive. Jesus is the only one since Adam to know what it's like to be born into this world without having a sin nature. But the rest of us, we are born into this world and we don't know any different. And that's part of the problem. We don't know any different. And somebody comes and they tell you, you know, if you didn't grow up in church and you never heard people preaching about Jesus and being born again, and all of a sudden somebody on the street corner looks at you and says, "Are you born again?" What does that mean? Born again from what? From your sin. What sin? The sin you were born with. What are you talking about? Well, you need to be born again. What? Remember the thing between Jesus and Nicodemus? Enter into the mother's womb. We don't know. Because that's how we were brought into this world. We don't have a clue what's going on mentally. We don't understand it. Adam knew because he lost what he had. Jesus knew because he was born with what we now have. And so he was born into a world where this was going on, but everybody else, we don't know. Adam and Eve both understood what it was like to have it and then lose it. But starting with their very first child, every human since then other than Jesus has no clue. We just don't know. Because this has been passed on. This is passed from generation to generation from the Father, and Jesus had no earthly father. We know that. God was his father. Now, take a look at these next few points. No human alive knows what it's like to have a perfect body. Now let that sink in. No human alive knows what it's like to have a perfect body. The closest to that would have been Jesus. But other than that, Adam and Eve are the only human beings in the history of humanity, the history of all creation. They are the only two humans to know what it's like to have a perfect body and live in a perfect world. We don't know what it's like to have a perfect body. And no matter how healthy you eat and exercise and all that, nobody knows what it's like to have a perfect body. No scientist knows what it's like to study a perfect world. This is one of the reasons why science is so excessively flawed, because when they try to explain to you the origin of the universe, they're doing it based upon observations of a corrupted universe. You cannot develop right theories of the origin of a universe if you don't understand the perfection from which it fell. You see what I'm saying? So science is basing everything that it sees or everything that it teaches you on corruption. The end result of what Adam did. So there is no scientist alive that knows what it's like to study a perfect world. Do you understand? We don't know what it's like to study a perfect world. Well, avoid that rabbit trail too. No biologist knows what it's like to study a perfect gene structure. There is no doctor, there is no medical university anywhere that knows what it's like to study a perfect gene structure. All they know what to do, or all they know what to study, is corruption. That's all they see. They don't know any different. There is no such thing on this planet right now as a perfect DNA, as a perfect gene pattern. It does not exist because it goes all the way back to what happened in the Garden of Eden. Now, just this right here alone should help you understand about sickness and disease. This next point, the only thing humanity has known since Adam is imperfection at every level of creation and existence. That's all we've known. Now, granted, we get born again, we know Jesus and so forth, but you understand what I'm saying, the context of this. That's all humanity has ever known, corruption at every single level. Now, this is understanding this is so vitally important for us because other than Scripture, we have absolutely no reference whatsoever to perfection. We do not know what it's like to have a body that's perfect, and we do not know what it's like to have a perfect strand of DNA, because it doesn't exist. There's nothing to study. There's nothing to compare it to. We don't know what it's like for the perfect genes to be passed from one parent to the child. We have no comprehension of this whatsoever. When Adam sinned, his spiritual death initiated corruption at the DNA or the molecular level, the very foundation of his natural existence. This is why he began to die. See, if the corruption had not started at the cellular level, he would never have died. How many of you know that death always starts, well, other than an accident, death always starts at the cellular level? I mean, just think about cancer. When they try to eradicate cancer from a body, they want to make sure that every single cancer cell is gone, right? And there are times, have you ever heard stories of somebody where the doctors told them, well, you're cancer-free. A few months later, all of a sudden, there it is again. Well, where did it come from? There was a cell in there that they didn't find, and it began to reproduce. Why did it reproduce? Because it has life. That cell has life. Death life. All right? But it has life. It's a cell. It's a living organism. But it's been corrupted because of what happened with Adam. See? And so, when Adam sinned, and again, this is something that in the natural, we cannot explain scientifically. But when Adam sinned, it initiated corruption at the cellular level, and somehow that sin nature, or that spiritual death, reached to the very core, or the very foundation of his natural existence, and it corrupted that DNA structure. Well, once that DNA structure was corrupted, it was passed down then. Because when he reproduced, not just spiritual death was passed on, but also that physical corruption was passed on. And it took quite a while. When you go through and you read from Genesis on, it took a long time for that corruption to multiply itself to the point that people were living under 100 years. I mean, it took a long time for this to happen. But every generation, there was further degeneration. See? Have you ever made copies of a tape? The first copy sound pretty good, second copy still. But by the time you get to like the 10th copy, you know, a copy of a copy of a copy, man, I mean, it gets bad. It sounds like, you know, it's grainy, it's hard to understand, all hissy and everything. I mean, it just does not sound good. Well, that's what's happened with Adam. He sinned, the corruption hit him. It worked from the inside spirit, inside out against his body, and began this process. The next generation was corrupted even more. The next generation was corrupted even more, to the point to where if it weren't for medical science, the lifespan today would probably be somewhere around 40 years. Because if you look at the progression of human history, you can see how it got to the place to where people were considered old if they were in their 50s. And if medical science had not been able to arrest this in some way, shape, or form, our lifespan today might only be in the 40s. Well, thank God it's not. I mean, thank God we understand things differently. And we'll get into that some more later on in this course. But nevertheless, this corruption began at the very foundation of his existence. God, now listen closely to this. God did not create Adam's body to degenerate. You've got to understand, degeneration is a result of death. Something that is full of life does not degenerate. Do you understand that? No, you don't. Why not? Because all we know is death. We don't see anything that generates. All we see is degeneration. See? We understand the concept, but we have no example of it because it doesn't exist. The sum total of the material universe has been corrupted. Now, when this took place, this degeneration was initiated. God did not create Adam's body to degenerate to the point of self-destruction. See, that's what happens. If you have no disease and no sickness whatsoever, and you make it to 120 years, and then you lay down, and that's it, I mean, your body just says, man, I just cannot go another day. Goodbye. And you just leave your body and go on. That's because the body has reached the point where it can't continue on. And some folks struggle with this idea. But when the body is in a state of degeneration, there comes a point in time to where it has degenerated. And it just... All right, you want to know what degeneration is? It's what you wash off every morning in the shower. That, you know why? That's what BO is. I'm not trying to be gross. That's why you stink. It's because you're... you are... Well, everybody but Fran, excuse me. That's why you have these odors. It's because your body is dying. And the dead cells are accumulating in places like your armpits. I know, not friends. All right. Do you see what I'm saying? That's why this happens. Your body is in a constant state of degeneration. If you've ever been around people to where they have really degenerated a lot, so you need to watch this degeneration off. Why don't you sit on the hood of my car? We'll go to the wishy-washy. We'll get you, wax you up real good in the process. Well, anyway, God did not create the human body to degenerate because degeneration is a result of death. When God created and He looked and He saw that everything was good, He even said so. He said, very good. Everything is very good. God, now listen, you read the scripture and you can find out that God does not consider death in any form to be very good. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. God is life. He created Adam to live forever, not to degenerate. Well, we don't. I mean, think about it. If Adam had lived, had done what he had done, he'd be about 6,000 years old now. You know, really, maybe a little beyond that. Our human minds can't grasp that because we do not know how to relate to that kind of life. The only evidence of that life that we have is what we see in Scripture and what we see through healing and miracles. That's the only evidence that we have of that life. Other than that, all we see is degeneration. As we sit here tonight, we're all degenerating. We're degenerates, praise God. We're all degenerating. And we can't help it. It's something that was passed down to us from Adam. Now, a couple more minutes here. God did not create Adam's body to degenerate. But once corrupted, Adam's body began dying. Eventually, his body wore out. And it died. Now, we don't know for sure what he died of, all right? It just says 930 years, and he died. So we don't know what happened. It may have been 930 years, he just sat down one day under an oak tree, and that was it. He just died. It was over. He just died. I mean, 930 years is a long time, you know? A real long time. You got to remember, he was married to the same woman for 930 years. Now, wait a minute. Don't take that wrong. He's the only man in history who knows what it's like to be married. You know, you've heard some people say, I've been married all my life. Adam was married all his life. Well, anyway, I'll tell you what, let's just take a break. See you back in a little bit.